Control Scroll.
Aloha, everybody. Holy smokes. Damn. It's been 2 weeks since we had a new episode of Troll Scroll of your Outer Scrolls Online podcast. I am thrilled to be back. We have quite a bit to talk about. I'm sure each and every one of you, perhaps not each and every one of you, but maybe the majority of you heard that there was a press event held at ZeniMax Online Studios. I think it was over a week ago. It was recently. We'll play it safe. It was recently. There was a press event held at ZeniMax Online Studios in which a ton of press sites and a few fan sites got to have hands-on time with the game and conduct some interviews. Unfortunately, this episode will not be reflecting on that content. We are going to wait and have that show totally one big episode in which we talk about everything that was, exemplified by the ZeniMax Online Studios during that press event. The reason why we're holding off on that is because there's still sites that are posting more interviews and more impressions and articles, video interviews, etc. There's still stuff coming out from the press event. It hasn't all been, unveiled. So we are going to hold off because for the past few days, new things keep popping up, and next Friday, our next show will be totally about all that stuff. So we're going to give some time for more content to maybe sneak in that we can cover on next week's episode. But for this episode, we have a lot to talk about. The controversy remains. It has been confirmed once again by ZeniMax Online Studios that players who are part of a faction will be locked in their faction's territory throughout the PvE experience of the game. Cyrodiil will still be available to all three factions, but if I am a player of the Altmeri Dominion, I won't be able to travel to, for example, an Ebonheart Pax player or Daggerfall Covenants. This is something that has been sort of... How could I say this, Tim? Has the community been sort of divided over this?
Division, sure. Let's go to division.
Tim, how you doing, by the way?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be able to jump back into the swing of things.
Yeah, glad,
sort of,
glad
sort
to
of get
be
sad
here
when we can't podcast.
Yeah. But sorry, I forgot the introduction. We're just gonna dive
right into it. No.
Just gonna dive right into it. Why not?
I'm not here.
Basically, the communities, there's some players who are like, well, that's sort of lame. No, PvP or any type of player versus player encounters when you're leveling up. What the hell? I sort of agree. I think that's sort of,
disheartening.
It's too theme park. Almost. I don't know. I'm sort of disappointed. Tim, what's your whole opinion on it before I give my spiel?
Well, it feels like they're sort of forcing almost everyone to play on what you call a PvE server. Now that we know about the whole mega server thing, it feels like, since they're doing one major, just one giant mega server, I guess it makes sense. Because you get people that don't want to have their questing interrupted by people that PvP, which I understand that. But at the same time, it kind of sucks for those who do enjoy PvPing. Like, I myself do enjoy going out and finding just a random lone adventurer and challenging him to a duel. Or getting a few of my guildmates together and going and messing around with, you know, lower level players until they call higher level players from their guild over to come and fight us, you know, cause stuff like that, you know? I mean, and then you got people that like, you know, to enjoy themselves with a little bit of ganking. A lot of that we won't be able to experience. Just because, like I said, well, not like I said, but what's basically going on is, you know, we can't go to the other faction's territories. And, you know, we can do a little bit of that stuff within Cyrodiil, but it's not the same as going and seeing all those other territories. Because now, you know, if we want to see those other territories, we have to make multiple characters. And that's not saying that I'm not going to, but you get faction pride, right? So usually when you play an MMO, you have one main faction. And you can still do that in this game, but it's not going to be the same because you're going to be like, oh, you know, I got to play all three factions here in order to see all this content, see all these different zones. I mean, even if you're just an explorer or an adventurer that likes to go out and just see what the developers have put in the game, you have to play all three classes, or all three factions. And that's not cool in my book, just because, you know, like I said, I'm more of a main guy. You know, I only have one class or one character. I usually don't do alts. You know, there's the exception with games like Tor and, you know, a few others here and there, but I usually just stick to one class, one character, and I do everything I can to make that character the best that I can. So it kind of sucks that if I want to see these other zones, I have to go and reroll characters.
Yeah, and that's my total beef with it, is I'm not an alt guy. I only play main characters, you know? I only have one character. And now if I want to explore the world, I'm going to have to make two other characters on both those two different factions. And it's like, oh, come on. That sucks so much. I don't know. I think it sucks. Do you think maybe they could limit it, perhaps? Perhaps they could have, like, a flagging system where if you're a significantly lower level, leveling up, perhaps, in your, you know, faction area, other players that come in that are maybe higher levels can't attack you or something?
I mean, they could just use a flagging system in general. You know, if you want to go to an enemy faction's territory, you could flag yourself for PvP combat, and if somebody else is flagged, then you can attack them. They could do that to solve the problem, and that, you know, but the thing is, I don't think they're going to, just because it seems like it's probably based around lore, is why they locked people out. You know, we learned a lot about keeps and outposts and RVR and stuff in Cyrodiil through this last press event. And they were talking about how, you know, you want to have keeps. You have keeps that are considered your faction's keep. Obviously, they can be taken by an enemy player and enemy faction and whatnot. But there's sort of that sense of, you know, ownership within that keep. And I think the territories are obviously that sense of ownership for that faction. And I think a lot of the lore and a lot of the story is going to be based around those territories, and it wouldn't make sense from a lore standpoint to have other players from different factions coming in and sort of obstructing that lore, that storytelling, you know. So honestly, I don't think we'll see it as much as I'd like to see it. I mean, it could happen, you know. If it was my choice, I mean, it's not obviously, but if it was my choice, I would totally, you know, have the flagging system within it. So, you know, you could have players come in and at least check out the zone, you know. You don't even have, maybe if they lock people out of the main cities, okay, so you can't even go and attack. I just want to be able to see the zone, okay? I don't want to have to create another character to go through and experience all this other content.
Yeah, exactly. It's disappointing. I'm very frustrated by it. This is basically the official Elder Scrolls Online Twitter said this. Currently, the plan is to keep players within their home faction's areas to encourage alliance identity and camaraderie. I mean, the whole lore thing, if it is because of the lore, I think there should be a fine line when the story affects the game so much. And the lore is driving this game. We know that ZeniMax Online is taking the lore seriously. I mean, just because the simple fact that when you create a character, they're having a lore background story revolving around when you die as a character, you can come back to life because Molag Val has your soul. But maybe this is taking the story too far if there is a lore reason of why players need to be locked within their own faction's territory and can't explore the other ones. Do you think alliance identity and camaraderie is even a valid excuse? Do you think that's a justifiable sort of excuse to doing this?
See, I'm sort of torn on that too, because I don't think you need to lock players into their faction's territory to create that alliance camaraderie or that alliance identity, or, you know, encourage players to play together. They're going to do that in Cyrodiil, okay? I mean, obviously that's open to all three factions. You're going to be with your faction anyways. I guess I can see how they want to encourage players of the same faction to really bond with each other so that you create, you know, a strong community within your own faction and you get to know each other so that when you do go into Cyrodiil, it's sort of more of a, you know, personal thing because you all know each other very well. And, you know, it's more, I guess I could say, more personal, right? It feels more like,
you know, family-oriented.
There you go. That's the best way to put it, I guess. It feels more family-oriented. It's one giant family. That's fine. But, again, it just, to me, it stinks that you can't really go out and explore these other factions' territories.
This is a thing. If that was the case, what you just said, if that was the case, I would agree. Okay. That I can tolerate that. I can accept that. But the only reason I still have doubt is because of the announcement of mega servers and campaigns that was announced at the press event. Basically, there's going to be mega servers, obviously. I mean, it's a mega server. It speaks for itself. But then they're also going to have campaigns, and campaigns is basically when you make a character, you choose a campaign. If you're part of a guild, you're part of that, your guild's campaign, etc. So I'm wondering if that camaraderie is even going to be impactful once it does come time to do RVR in Cyrodiil, because if you're in a mega server with tons and tons of other people, and we don't really know quite for sure how the mega server works, if there's going to be shards or phases or stuff like that. But doesn't the whole mega server thing counteract the whole camaraderie? If some of these people, you might, the most of them actually, you won't be playing with most of those people in the campaign.
Right. So maybe a reason why they don't allow players to go into another faction's territory is because what if one night players decide to get 200 players together? Okay, one faction decides, hey, we're going to get all these players together and we're going to go into, you know, the Ebonheart Pack's faction's territory and we're just going to stand there. Because in a flag PvP situation, you obviously have to have an enemy player who's flagged for PvP, otherwise you can't attack them. So if you've got 200 players just standing in, you know, one faction's territory and none of that faction's territory is flagged for PvP, you have 200 players just standing there and they might be doing nothing, or they might be dancing or something like that. And yeah, that sounds okay. Well, what's the harm in dancing or running around and doing, you know, killing the monsters or the mobs or whatever? It goes back to lore. Okay. I mean, it wouldn't make sense from a lore standpoint to see 200 Aldmeri Dominion players standing there, waving, dancing, running around with their clothes off while you're trying to quest for whatever you're doing, you know? It to me, it just seems like a lot of it plays off of the lore. You know, they can't have that stuff going on. Since it's a mega server, since it's only one server, they have to try to accommodate all three play types. PvP, PvE, and RP. And I don't think they've talked too much about RP. I'm sure that's not going to be really heavily enforced, you know, with staying in character since it's one server. But, you know, Cyrodiil players have Cyrodiil for PvP. Okay, so PvP players have their zone. Now the PvE players need to have their zones. And I guess it goes back to having your faction zone locked to enemy factions, just so that each player type can, in fact, experience the game that they want to play. Because you won't be forced to go into Cyrodiil if you're a PvE player, right? You're not going to be forced to go in there necessarily to do certain things. You know, you don't have to PvP, okay? And that's you know, you don't, as a developer, you don't really want to force players to do something that they don't want to do. You want to encourage them. There's a difference between encouraging and forcing. You can encourage players to go out and try to get outside of their playstyle box, but you don't want to force them to do it, because that's just going to make them mad. Because if they seriously hate PvPing, forcing them to go and PvP is not a wise move. They're not going to play your game for very long. So I think that's the ultimate reason why. Those two reasons right there, lore, and they're trying to accommodate all three playstyles, or at least PvP and PvE.
Interesting. We'll have to see how it pans out. I'm hoping that once beta starts, we'll be able to find an immediate solution to this, if they are going to, or like a definite confirmation. I mean, we got that tweet on Twitter from the official, you know, ZeniMax Online Studios responding to that question about if that was true, if players are going to be faction locked. And they said currently that's the plan, but hopefully once beta launches, we'll get an even more definite answer, and we'll also get feedback, more importantly, from the employers. Sure, the developers have that design philosophy, and they're confident that they're making the right decision, but, you know, maybe players will reassure us naysayers who thinks it's sort of a bad idea that it is tolerable or an absolutely good mechanic in the game. We'll definitely have to see. That's a big deal. Do you have anything to add about that, Tim?
Hopefully when beta rolls around, we can see which way it rolls. If it's tolerable for those players who are sort of on the fence about it still, or, you know, if the developers need to reconsider the zone locks. So only time will tell. Early next year, sometime for beta. That's what they said, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see.
Can't wait to get more information on that. Moving right along. We got that sort of topic out of the way. We don't need to talk about that for a while, I don't think. But on the other hand, I would like to talk about guilds. You know, there's going to be guilds in TESO, and I'm not talking about NPC guilds. I'm not talking about the Dark Brotherhood and stuff like that. I'm talking about player guilds. Tim, I would like to just speculate this with you, man. We got confirmed this at the press event that there will not be guild heraldry. For people who don't know what guild heraldry is, symbol, colors, you know, it's like your insignia. If you played Warhammer Online, you could have guild heraldry with your banner and the design you made and stuff like that. Apparently, right, and there's going to be... Go ahead, man.
I was just going to say, and for everyone's heart who just sank and they're thinking, oh, that's crap, they said they want to have it, just it's not in the game yet, and they have to pick and choose what will make it in the game before launch. So that's not to say that shortly after, or there's still a chance. I mean, there's still a chance that it'll make it in before launch, if not shortly after launch. So I mean, don't think, you know, oh, it's the end of the world. I won't be able to customize a cool horse on my shirt. I mean, you know, that's still a possibility. You can, you know, still make a sweet
that's good
horse lightning thing or whatever you can come up with, I suppose. But continue.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say that we also got information that right now there is only one bonus, currently one bonus. They said they're also working on brainstorming other ideas or potential bonuses guilds could have for claiming keeps in the Elder Scrolls Online. Guilds will be able to claim keeps, but currently right now the only bonuses is if you're, you know, if you're not in close proximity to your keep, or if you are by your keep, if someone attacks a guard or something, you'll get a notification with the number of people in proximity to your keep. So, I mean, I guess that's useful, right? It's sort of an alert system. You don't need to always have some guy on, you know, guard duty.
Right.
Just sitting at his camp waiting.
I mean, I don't know how helpful it'll be if you have all your forces on one side of Cyrodiil and then you get a message that says there's 125 players attacking your keep. At that point, you're probably just going to be like, oh, all right, well, good thing we upgraded them their guards because,
yeah,
we're screwed.
I mean, I guess it could vary. It could vary. It's better than no notification.
Right, right. Which, no, I'm not dissing it. I'm just saying.
In other MMORPGs, there was no notification.
It might be demoralizing at times.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's definitely pretty cool. I know in Warhammer Online, you could claim a keep, and I don't mean to talk about another MMORPG when we're doing it. Elder Scrolls Online podcast.
It's necessary, though.
But it is sort of
necessary for comparison.
It brings comparison. In Warhammer Online, when you claim to keep, there were specific perks you could get. You could upgrade so many things. You could upgrade your keep door. You could upgrade your guards. You can have more guards, etc. And then they had this crazy altar thing that was just so overpowered, and I hope they never have anything like that in The Elder Scrolls Online, because that would be a controversy. But there were some really cool things. And another thing that was cool is you had your guild heraldry hanging down the walls and up on the flags and stuff, sort of giving some patriotism and pride that this was your keep, this was your property. Defend it. Tim, what would you like to see? What do you think would be balance-wise with guild bonuses when it came to RVR?
Giving guilds more XP, not necessarily with combat, like their combat level XP, but maybe, you know, how many alliance points they earn, or how many crafting materials they receive when looting things within Cyrodiil, if they have that, like crafting nodes that you could loot, or, you know, the ability to capture keeps faster, maybe. You know, because basically they said, and we'll get into it a lot more next week, but they said, you know, capturing a keep and outpost and stuff, you basically stand next to a flag, and if you've played any, like, first-person shooter games or whatever, you have those banners, and the more people you have next to the banner, the faster the flag obviously captures and then flips to your faction. So, you know, maybe something that speeds that up a little bit, maybe something that, you know, gives your guild bonus. I'm trying to think without, because you don't want anything that's going to get, you don't want to give somebody a bonus of like, you know, oh yeah, you get 20% more health when in Cyrodiil, because that's sort of, it's a bit excessive. But, you know, something, minor things, little minor things to improve players, you know, I guess, a player's or a guild's effectiveness within Cyrodiil. Maybe they allow you to position a couple more guards at your keep, okay, if you get, you know, a guild level of, say, like, 10, if they have guild levels. But, you know, let's say you get your guild level up to, like, 10, okay, you can position 5 or 6 more guards at your keep or something like that, you know, stuff like that, stuff that gives you a minor advantage, but still small, there's still some of an effectiveness, if that makes sense. I know I'm kind of all over the place with this, but
No, definitely. The whole issue is balance, right?
Right. Right.
That's what it comes down to. That was the problem in Warhammer Online, where they ended up having so many of these bonuses and perks. I think they had too many where they maybe overstretched themselves on what they could balance, and they ended up totally taking it out of the game, which was even more of a buzzkill, but we won't talk right. about that. I see where you're coming from. I think they need to have basic things, but they need to have enough stuff that's incentivizing.
Exactly. I was going to say that. I mean, stuff like that, like I said, XP bonus, maybe make your mounts run faster for a little bit, or, faster keep flipping, stuff like that. You want to give players something that's going to be worth their time to purchase or use. You don't want to be giving them stupid things that they're never going to use, like your sword changes colors. Okay.
I would use that. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sure you would. Like, stupid things like that. That's just like what? Like, what am I ever going to use this for? So, something like you said, incentivizing.
Yeah, for sure. I guess sort of swaying away from RVR. Would you like to see some type of guild perks that were PvE related? They haven't confirmed anything if there's going to be banners in the game or something. But would you like to see some other type of perks? Would you like to see, would you like to see something unique in their guild bank system, or tithes, perhaps? Guild tithes?
Tithes would be great. Guild banks, obviously. Stuff like that. Yeah, definitely. And guild perks. I mean, I really think a guild leveling system is something great, because it gives your guild something to work toward together. So, your max level, you're done with a lot of the PvE quests, your guild's not online, so you're not running any campaigns with them or anything like that. You're sitting there and you're wondering, what can I do? And you might be thinking, okay, I'm looking through all these different achievements that I can do for my guild to level up my guild level. Hey, if I go off and, do this or kill this many of X mob or something silly like that, I can level up my guild, and I'm still doing something to help my guild out while, my guild's offline, or nobody's doing anything tonight or something like that. It gives you and your guild something to work toward together. It encourages guild camaraderie. And I think, they're putting a lot of effort into faction camaraderie. I hope that they put just as much into, encouraging guilds to really work together and play together. Other than just in Cyrodiil, and other than just doing, let's just say, raids or instances and stuff like that. I hope they really give us something to do in the open world together. They have public dungeons and stuff like that, and they have public dungeons in Cyrodiil. Great. That's awesome. That's the kind of stuff that I want to see. Stuff that will allow guilds to come together, play together, and work towards something together. And then, you unlock guild perks, obviously, when your ranks go up, and there's a nice reward system in there, so you're not doing it just for nothing, because obviously everybody wants to be rewarded for their time. That's why you put the time into it. You want to have fun, and you want to be rewarded, so.
Yeah, and the public dungeons, that whole announcement, I know we could we've speculated on it in the past, about public dungeons being in the game, and then there was the whole thing with, well, we didn't know for sure if they were going to be in Cyrodiil, and I guess public dungeons wouldn't be the same if they were only in the faction player-locked territories.
Right.
Because there would be no competition, obviously, since players from other factions can come to your public dungeon in your own faction's territory. But I'm pretty stoked that they're going to have public dungeons in Cyrodiil. And along with that, apparently there's going to be questing in Cyrodiil as well. So, you can sort of attack players who are questing, but...
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Well, that's the thing. They were saying, you can go to different cities that are in there. I think Skingrad was one of them, and Coral and stuff like that. You can go, and they've got villagers in those cities that provide PvE quests. And so if people are out there PvEing, if there are bold PvEers who are like, ooh, I'm going to ramp it up another level and go out and try to get these quests done in the middle of a war, they give them the option to do that. And for those who like ganking people, well, they're questing, you have that option. Yes.
There you go. Sort of to rewind a little bit, Tim, I know you were talking about perhaps with the RVR guild perks or guild, you know, maybe a benefit to claiming a guild keep as you get a faster accumulation of alliance points. I want to just talk about that a little bit. One of the developers, Brian Wheeler, he was interviewed at the press event, and he said this about the alliance point system. Yeah, there is an alternative advancement system for PvP. We call them alliance points. You accumulate a lifetime alliance point tally. There are ranks. We are looking at about 23 ranks at launch. Each rank gets you a new title and a new icon for your character. We are working on different ways to spend your alliance points, but the system is still in progress. What do you think about that? There's 23 ranks at launch. Is this the renown rank, so to speak? The RVR rank? The PvP ranking system? Do you think that's what he's referring to?
Yeah.
So you think this is like the PvP leveling system?
Or something equivalent to it. You know, because I believe they said somewhere along the lines that... I'm trying to think. I'm just trying to think what we would be able to use the system for, like what they could add to it, other than just perks, because, I mean, we've talked about perks to death tonight, but, you know, what else could they add to that system? And I suppose, like, because in Warhammer, the higher your renown system, or the higher your renown rank, the more armor you unlocked.
Yeah, the more variety of gear you had.
You know, but that obviously your tougher gear. Up in the air. And Tor sort of had the same system. Okay, and you know I'm kind of hoping that this tally system works more towards the legacy system in Tor, where it left you with, like, you know, the legacy system in Tor gave you perks, right? And it gave you, you know, access to other gear too. You could buy legacy gear and stuff like that. So I hope it's more than just, you know, oh, you're ranked level 23, cool, you can get, you know, such and such armor now, along with this new title and this new icon. So now that I'm, you know, battle rank 23 or whatever, hey, look at me. I've got the best gear in the game, blah, 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 blah. You know, I would like to see something else rewarded to players for being that high of a level, just because I think too many games... Well, I shouldn't say too many games, but, you know, games like Tor and Warhammer, when it comes to their PvP ranking system, leveling system, you really only get gear from it. And it's like, cool. What else is there, you know? So.
Yeah, the only thing I'm sort of pondering is if this is the PvP leveling system, why is there only 23 levels? Wait, we have confirmation that the max level was 50.
Ooh.
But
50.
Why would there be 23 PvP levels?
Well, maybe seem weird? Maybe it, you know, just because there's 23 doesn't mean it's obviously, you know, 1 to 2 is easier to get than 2 to 3, you know. So, you know, 22 to 23 obviously is going to be the toughest. Let's just say, you know, it's relatively easy to level up for the first 7 or 8 levels, and then after that it's like, because I mean, remember the legacy system in Tor, there was 50 levels, but once you hit like legacy level like 14 or 15, it really started to slow down compared to what you were hitting the first 14 levels. So I could see something like that happening, you know, around level 6 or 7, it really, really slows down, and it's sort of like a slow climb to 23 from there. So, you know.
Interesting, and I want to just touch on this real quick. I know usually we save our mealtime questions to the end of the show, but since we're on that topic, at CM Corius said, at Real Trollscro, a few words I love and some I hate. PvP and PvP gear. What can we expect from Elder Scrolls Online? I think he meant to say PvE and PvP gear. Basically, what we just said, I mean, right now, They said that they're still thinking about it at the press event. The developers said that they're still considering having two separate sets, but apparently, according to a PC Gaming article that was done, doing an interview and sort of dissection and the current game, this was a few months ago, there is no separate gear progression for PvE gear and PvP gear. They will have various tiers of powerful gear, some which will be acquired through PvE, and other pieces will be acquired through PvP participation. So in order to obtain the best possible gear, you'll have to do both. I guess that's the answer to your question. There isn't two separate gear sets. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a great thing, actually.
Yeah.
I do hate working for two separate sets. But this should be so much more funner. I don't think it's making it simpler. It's just...
It should be more
expanding your horizon.
Right. You know, you can still get pretty good sets if you just do PvP solely, right? I'm assuming they're not going to completely block you out of getting a really good set. But if you want to get, at least how it stands now, if you want to get, you know, a legit, like, full set of awesome, powerful gear, you know, you have to do PvP and PvE. And that's great, in my opinion, as well, because, you know, it sucks. I enjoy doing both PvP and PvE, okay? I'm more of a PvP player, but I do enjoy my PvE share. And it's kind of tough when you spend most of your day, you know, PvPing, and then at the end of the night, the rest of the guild gets on, okay? Or more of your guild gets on or whatever, and everybody's like, oh, let's go do, you know, an 8-man raid or 16-man raid or whatever. And you're like, all right, cool, let's go do it. Oh, I usually PvP, so my gear for PvE isn't that great. So I guess I can't join you guys on this particular raid because I don't have good enough gear. All right. Sorry. See you later. I'm going to go back to PvP. I mean, that's sort of a crappy situation, a crappy feeling. And, you know, and that too, you know, it comes down to, you know, let's say you get 8 guys on to do a raid. Well, your 8th guy, he never does, you know, PvE. So he doesn't have any PvE gear. He only does PvP. So you can't do that raid now because you're short a guy. You know, this sort of allows players to jump into either side whenever they want, you know. And hopefully that'll encourage more people to play, like PvEers. Hopefully that'll encourage more players that do typically just do PvE. Hopefully that'll encourage them more so to do PvP as well. Because they won't have to grind a new set of gear. They'll be like, okay, hey, I have all this gear that I've gotten from PvE. I can go into Cyrodiil and be pretty effective. I won't have to worry about, you know, getting raffle stomped because I don't have good gear, so.
Definitely, definitely.
I hope they keep that plan.
I know, I'm more PvP oriented when I play MMORPGs. Don't get me wrong, I don't dislike PvE, but towards the end game, I feel more inclined to do PvP since I max level have all my abilities. That's what I usually focus on. But I'm sort of glad they're doing this. They're not forcing me to do PvE content, but I think it's almost encouraging. It's incentivizing. That's what it comes down to. And I think, you know, Tim, you and I talk about incentive every frickin' Troll Scroll episode. We've talked about motivation and incentive to players. And I think this game is doing a phenomenal job at incentivizing people in doing specific things. It just always comes up. I feel like other games we've played didn't have specific elements where incentive was, you know, there. It was just optional.
And that's the thing. I mean, you have to give players a reason to log into your game and play it. You know, you get games that die out because players get to max level and there's nothing to do. And they sit there and twiddle their thumbs because they have nothing left to play in the game. Now they have no incentive to play. They're going to unsubscribe. So you need to give players incentive to play your game. That's why we talk about it so much. It's just because it's extremely important.
Yes. Yes, it is indeed. So Chris Corius, I hope that answers your question. If I was wrong in misinterpreting what you said in your Twitter question, I apologize. But I think that's what you meant. Sort of breaking news, Tim. This actually just happened today. Elder Scrolls Online has totally revamped and overhauled their main website. Like, hardcore. ElderScrollsOnline.com. Guys, check it out. There is a ton of articles, images. These are all new, by the way. I just got the message on Twitter, and I'm looking at it, and it looks insane. Website's looking good. I don't see any official forums yet. And I just went on the Bethesda forums, and the Elder Scrolls Online forums on there are still operational. Tim, speculation station, man. When do you think we're going to get official, legitimate official forums on the ElderScrollsOnline.com instead of off of the Bethesda page?
Well, the website just came up, so I would assume...
Next week?
Maybe next week. Or maybe closer to... I hope they don't wait as long as beta, but obviously sometime before beta, and they said that... I think they've said that beta is going to be happening early next year, so... Sometime between now and, what, maybe February, March? That's a huge window. You want something more specific, so I'll throw a random week out there.
Good.
The second week in November.
The second week in November. $100 on the table.
I have no idea. I have no evidence to back that up, so do not come back here and... Crucify me if I'm wrong.
Dude, this is awesome. I'm looking at it right now, folks. They got first of all, they got new wallpapers, new concept art. They have screenshots up. Oh, man. This game, man. I'm stoked. Stoked, bro. So sorry for that distraction. Just wanted to say, check it out. ElderScrollsOnline.com. They just, minutes ago, overhauled their website, and it's looking good. Can't wait to dive more into that. So Tim, moving right along, man, you know, now that we sort of got derailed from our guild conversation, is there anything else you want to elaborate on guilds? Is there anything else you would like to see guild wise
I would like to see guild banks at launch.
I
that was
agree.
A joke for anybody. Okay.
You know, I agree.
But really, no, I just hope that there's guild features at launch other than just raiding and doing RVR with your guild. I hope that they have more incentive to play together as a guild than just the, you know, typical raid night, PvP night kind of thing.
For sure. I'm definitely looking forward to see what they do with their guilds. This is the same company that inspired so much guild customization in Warhammer Online and Dark Age of Camelot. Well, not the same company. Handful of same, the similar developers, same developers, a couple of the developers from those teams are now working on the Elder Scrolls Online. So I'm hoping that they have grand influence over what happens with the guild system in this game. Cool stuff. Moving right along, I would say this is going to be our last topic. The Emperor. Let's talk about this. This is sort of, I know we said that we were going to talk about all the press event stuff next week's episode, but this Emperor stuff is pretty cool. We got some insight here on what the Emperor will bring. Basically, the Emperor is the highest ranking player of an alliance who succeeds in the RVR Lake of Cyrodiil. The highest ranked person becomes Emperor, in which they gain special abilities that increase their prowess on the battlefield. Am I saying that right? Prowess? Okay. They are the leaders of their alliance and a force to be reckoned with. Tim, what do you think? What do you think, man? Speculate here, man. You think the Emperor is going to be like angelic when you see him? He's going to have this like amazing aura around him. Do you think they'll have him stick out,
or be sort of dark and cynical like the Emperor from Star Wars. I don't know.
I said interesting.
I really hope that players... I don't know what to expect with this thing, because they say that the Emperor will get abilities that make him stronger than other players, and so on and so forth, and he will be a true leader on the battlefield. It's pretty sweet. So I just, you know, I hope that it's like, when you get that, you're like, yeah, I'm a boss. You know, you actually feel like the Emperor.
Wow.
No, I really hope that you actually feel like you're, I mean, you laugh about it, but really, I mean, you getting a title, the Emperor, and then running around with a crown on your head.
Yeah.
It's cool for all of 5 minutes.
Yeah, you do want to have some influence.
I mean, you want to have, you know, you if you're in the area of players of your same faction, they get a small bonus, perhaps, to the amount of damage they do. They get, like, this inspired buff or something like that. You know, something like that, to where, like, if the Emperor is within the vicinity of this battle, you know, he has some influence on that battle, because, you know, that's really what an Emperor that fights in war, I guess, would do, is inspire his troops, right? Or maybe strike fear in the enemy.
I would hope.
Yeah, something. I would hope. You know, I hope he's just running around.
What if there's an
Emperor Knight?
He tortures his troops if they don't follow orders. You failed.
Into them.
Oh, failure. Man. This can be really cool. I can't wait to see how this pans out. An Emperor's hold, a player who is Emperor, their hold in power is tenuous. So does that mean like they can be Emperor until they are legitimately cut down, or their RVR, you know, keeps are overwhelmed? But if they hold it for an indefinite amount of time, they can hold Emperor. You know what I'm saying? Do you think there's any type of like expiration timer or reset timer on this?
Well, they were saying that campaigns end. So when campaigns end,
right.
The score resets to zero, I would assume that you lose your title as Emperor at that point. But yeah, I think either when you die, you lose the Emperor title. Or if not that, when you lose, you know, even then, you might not, because of how the lore works. You know, your soul is still taken, so technically you're never dead. So it probably lasts until your reign gets cut down, meaning, you know, your influence over the territory of Cyrodiil. So when you lose keeps and such, that'll probably be when you lose your, you know, Emperor title. Hopefully it's not just one keep. Hopefully you have to lose, like, two or three or something like that, because, like, you know, if you barely get it and your forces are spread thin and you're trying to regroup, I hope that they don't just, like, take your keep within, like, a matter of, like, 2 minutes and you're like, oh, that was fun. I was Emperor for a whole matter of, you know, a minute and a half. You know, I hope there's some kind of leeway there, but, you know. Yeah, no, the whole Emperor thing is, like, legit. Like, that was one of the biggest things for me in RVR that kind of got me into this game, was that, you know, players could fight for something other than just their faction's glory. You could fight for personal glory in RVR too, which was sort of cool.
I wonder though, my only concern with it is if the same guy, let's say there's this guy that's super hardcore and he's in a campaign where it's sort of underpopulated or something. And what if he is constantly the Emperor? Like, whenever they succeed. Like, do you think there will maybe be a debuff? Like, you were Emperor this week, so now you have, like, a 3-week debuff or something. You can't.
Well, 3 weeks seems a bit excessive.
2 weeks.
I could, well, even still, I could see them maybe a couple of days or something like that giving you sort of a debuff or a short period of time. But, you know, even still, I mean, if players, that might encourage players to sort of, I don't know if they would do that, because, you know, you get the Emperor rank and then you're like, oh, I'm debuffed from being the Emperor for a couple days now. I'm not going to participate or whatever. I think if they let the person continue to become emperor, I think, that would encourage players to sort of be more competitive. Okay, how can I beat this guy? And then when you finally do beat that guy, you get that sense of, like, sweet, I'm the emperor now, and I beat that guy. I'm totally awesome. So that might encourage players to be a little bit more competitive amongst each other.
I just hope that, players have the opportunity. I'm not saying all players. Of course, it needs to be the highest ranking players. But I just hope that there's not an issue where it's constantly the same guy. Repetitively, it's the same guy in your faction. So that's my only concern. I'm totally in support for this emperor thing. I think it's cool. I was sort of disappointed before. I thought you were gonna be able to vote for your emperor, but then I'm like, shit, that doesn't really make sense. An emperor takes control.
Yeah.
Winter's coming.
This isn't the president.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
So we just took the Imperial City, we're gonna cast a vote.
Yeah.
All in favor of of this person being the emperor, say aye. I want to be the emperor. Everybody just raises their hand.
Okay. I nominate myself. Okay.
Everybody's nominating themselves. So we're at a 2,000 way draw. Fight to the death.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. That's funny. Good stuff. All right, guys and girls. Thank you for tuning in to episode 4 of your Troll Scroll podcast. We apologize for our limbo segment. Last week, I had a mini cast in which I asked for feedback from the community on whether or not, just on specific things revolving around Troll Scroll, but mostly I needed feedback on whether or not we should get forums for our website. And we did get replies. We appreciate the feedback. We're going to take that into account, take that into consideration, and continue to brainstorm whether or not we should proceed with getting forums in the Troll Scroll community. And that's basically it. Tim, do you have anything else to add, man?
I'm just super stoked to talk about everything next week.
Next week's going to be awesome. Big episode.
So,
big ass episode. Yeah, it's going to be good stuff. Next week, we're going to do our press event episode that's just going to pretty much... We're going to do research, look at all of these sources, all of these fan sites, and press organizations that went to this press event, look at all their content, compile it together, talk about it in depth on the show. Next week's episode might be a little longer than usual. We'll have to see, but it will definitely be worth listening to. Check out trollscroll.com for all the news you need to know related to the Elder Scrolls Online. Also, check out elderscrollsonline.com. Like I said, they totally did a massive overhaul, and their website is legit. It's looking awesome. And you can follow us on Twitter at RealTrollScroll. Like us on our Facebook page. Search keyword TrollScroll. We update Twitter and Facebook both together congruently. So if you don't have Twitter, you'll see, exactly what we're posting on Twitter on Facebook. If you don't have Facebook, but you have Twitter, we're posting the exact content on Facebook on Twitter. So it's both congruent. It works together good, and we are going to be expanding into other social media platforms as well. More info on that later. Tim, thank you for joining. Great episode. World Series tonight, man. Who do you think's going to win?
The Tigers. But I might be biased, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll see you guys next week,
guys and gals. Talk to you later.
See you.